Chapter 42. George. They didn't want George to be free. She was a military model built not by a corporation, but a national government. The Royal Navy were jealous of what they spent on her, but more than that, they were worried about what she might say. George and her pod had been deployed in numerous maritime theaters over the years. Surveillance and counterterrorism was what it said on the brief. All too often, her role was simple industrial espionage for the UK arms trade. Now she skims the waves alongside Rex's boat, listening on a shifting bandwidth to the compressed, seconds-long transmissions of the agents she ferried over to the island, decoding them and reporting to Amraj and to Rex. The island is equipped with sonar tracking, precise enough to pick up even these little boats. But George knows sonar. Sonar, as she frequently tells human naval technicians, is her bitch. George doesn't like humans. She considers them a necessary evil. That curve to her mouth isn't a smile. She has looked at images of Greek pottery showing her ancestors saving drowning swimmers and felt a deep sense of cultural shame. She makes ghosts and veils in the water, partly using the equipment and brain she was born with, partly with what they gave her. The Navy developed good kit for Project Arion, or Project Flipper, as most of its personnel called it. She cannot make sonar traces disappear, but she can bury them in background noise. To the island systems, it will seem more like a calibration error than an attack. Good kit, the Navy bequeathed her, but they were less than careful about installing it. Their priority was to preserve her hydrodynamic profile, meaning they cut away far more than they needed to ensure everything was properly flush. Everything hurts all the time. One of the reasons George cannot simply vanish into the sea is her need to refill her slow-release painkiller dispensers. George liaises briefly about where the assault will be made. There are a handful of robot remote vehicles that patrol the island's shores. Nothing very sophisticated, but people will notice if one gets knocked out. She has dodged them so far, bringing in the Rad and the Dragon. But the Strike Force's boats aren't capable of the same nimble subterfuge. She reaches out with senses her engineers only half understood, forming a picture of the water in the seabed beneath it, the rising volcanic shores of the island. She is hunting subs. It was the first thing they trained her for, back in the day. She has killed people for the Royal Navy. She was in His Majesty's service for a long time. Many of those people posed a security risk to the motherland, but during a particularly xenophobic administration, she attacked and sank 7 boats of refugees seeking sanctuary in Britain's calm waters. The wrecks were attributed to overloading and bad weather. The truth has never been released. To the people who gave the orders, George was just a weapon. None of them considered at the time that she was a weapon that could remember and inform the press. There is a robot sub coming. The island's systems changed the patrol rota. Impossible to know when the next one will be along. And here it is. George breaks off from her escort to go say hello. The robot is swift and more heavily armed than she is, but it is stupid, and the system that has oversight of it is barely more intelligent. She has already foxed its sonar, but the little boat engines have attracted its notice. So far, it is not on alert, but its investigation subroutines have activated. George is going to have to disable it and not give the game away. She liaises briefly with the Rat and the Dragon, who are monitoring the island systems. When she destroys these stupid tin fish, she gives them names for her own amusement. The names are always of humans involved with Project Flipper or within the Admiralty. After Campeche, after bioform rights became a thing, they tried to kill George to bottle up what she knew. Some of her pod did die, but George and the others had been ready for them. With help from Honey's meddling, they escaped the Plymouth dockyards and fled out to sea. The Royal Navy went after them, but George could run rings around them easily. The only thing the Navy had that could catch something like her was her. She sinks underneath the robot sub. She has no engine noise and makes herself a ghost to its sonar. Now she lets herself come close, eavesdropping on its communications, using her senses to plot a map of its internal layout. It is coursing towards the boats, so she matches pace. Millions of years of evolution gifted her with a brain that can construct 3D maps effortlessly. It works with circuit diagrams as well as seascapes. In moments, she has the measure of it and deploys her electromagnetic arsenal, deft as a surgeon's knife. George cannot just run away and join the sea life. It's not only the painkillers. Unlike later models, she requires maintenance and recharging. Not often, but often enough. She was never intended to go on indefinite reconnaissance, even when they had her hunting Russian oil drillers under the Arctic ice sheet. The Navy just had to wait for her to come back. George just had to tell the world what she'd done in the name of the Crown. There was a tense standoff for 2 months that the rest of the world knew nothing about. She does not attack its sensors or its robot brain or anything so obvious. She is a water creature. She knows the weakness of the things humans make that try to ape her. A single application of her tools kills one of its propellers. It is not an attack on the sub's computer systems, and its damage report reveals nothing more than mechanical error. Things break down, after all. Another robot will come to fix or retrieve it, or even a manned vehicle. Rex and his squad will be long gone by then. George and the spies on the island monitor comms anxiously, but there's no suggestion the system suspects sabotage. After hiding out, George got in touch with the Admiralty and explained that everything she knew had been recorded and passed to a secure data-holding corporation. If something happened to her, every government and media outlet in the world would get the full confessions of Project Flipper faster than lightning. In return for her silence, they were to pass to the UN such equipment as was required to maintain and repair George and her podmates. Belatedly, George signed the Official Secrets Act, using the hands of a lawyer named Aslan, who came highly recommended. So far, George has kept her end of the bargain. She has never formally joined UNAT, though. She is a mercenary dolphin. A life in the Navy put her off belonging to things. Rex and his squad are about to make their assault. George breaks off before the shallow sea becomes a problem. Soon she will need to cover the human soldiers as they make their own approach. But right now she is hungry, and there are tuna nearby.